Okay, so let's get started here. So we are on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us a pious hasheni mishochet mizorek mimedashin mimedashin mizbech apanimi umimedashin asaminora umimala ivarim lakevish. So the Mishnah tells us that the second lottery that was performed would determine the kohen who would shech the karban, the kohen who would do the zrika sadam, the kohen who would clean out the ashes from the inner mizbech in the heichal, and the kohen who would clean out the menorah, and finally the kohen who would bring up the various limbs of the animal to the mizbech. Then the Mishnah says, "Harosh v'haregel u'shtei hayadayim ha'oketz v'haregel v'hachaze v'hagira u'shtei adefanos v'hakravayim v'hasoles v'hachavitin v'hayayin shlosha asar kohanim zachubo." Then the Mishnah goes through all the various parts of the karban that were brought up. So the first kohen would bring up the head and the right leg of the animal. Then the next kohen would bring up the two front legs. Then the next kohen would bring up the tail and the left leg. Then the next kohen would bring up the breast and the throat. The next one would bring up the two flanks of the animal, and then finally the innards, the intestines. And then there were an additional four kohanim. One would bring the flour for the karban mincha. Another would bring for the chavitin. The chavitin were like these wafers that the kohen gadol would bring as a karban every single day. And the wine, any libations of wine that would accompany the karban. And the Mishnah says there were 13 kohanim who would end up meriting some sort of participation in the act of bringing the parts of the karbanos, or the things that would accompany the karbanos. Then the Mishnah says, Amar ben Azay lefnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Yoshua derech hilucho hayakari. Ben Azay disagrees with our Mishnah, whereas according to the presentation of our Mishnah, the way that we presented it, the Mishnah listed the different parts of the animals that were brought up in a specific order. According to Ben Azay, and again the Gemara is going to explain what this means in a little bit, he says that the animal was brought up derech hilucho, the way in which it walks, and again the Gemara is going to clarify what that means. So the Gemara asks, "Iboy aluhu kishehin mefaisin la avoda achas mefaisin o dilma luchal avoda va'avoda hein mefaisin." The question is, when we talk about doing this lottery, does that mean that there is a separate lottery for each and every activity? In other words, one lottery would determine the kohen who would shecht, one would determine the kohen who would do zrika, one would determine the kohen who would clean the menorah, etc. Or no, maybe there was just one lottery. The one guy would win the shechita, and then they would go around in a circle and give the next 12 guys the next 12 kibudim. That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Arba Payaso Sayusham, V'isalka Daita Chol Avodahin Mefaisin Tuvahavu. We said already in the Mishnah earlier that there were four lotteries, but the problem is we just explained that there were a lot more than four kibudim to give out. The implication, therefore, is that if you were going to do a separate lottery for each and every kibud, for each and every avoda, there should be a lot more than four lotteries. The Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kachi Ka'amar, Arba Pa'amim Nechnasin Lahafis Ulechol Chad V'chad. The Gemara says, no, what it means is they would gather four times a day to do these lotteries, and within each lottery there were many kibudim that were given out. So it's not necessarily a proof that they would only do one lottery and then give everything else up. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lohaya Pius Lamachta, Ela Kohen Shazacha Biktores Omer Lazesha Imo, Zacha Imi Bamachta. The Gemara says that the Kohen who would win the privilege of offering Biktores, so there was another Kohen who had to accompany him with the machta. The machta was the shovel that they would use to scoop the coals off of the outer mizbeach, bring it to the inner mizbeach in the heichal where the ketores was offered. So that was a separate kibud. The question is, if in fact there was a separate lottery for each and every kibud, how come the Mishnah tells us that the kohen who wins the schus for the ketores can just turn to the guy next to him and say, you take the shovel and come with me? Why is there not a separate lottery for the machta if you think that there was a separate lottery for each and every avodah? To which the Gemara says, no. Gemara says, shiny machta uktores. The Gemara says, no, because the Ketores and the Machta is really a package deal. Those two things go together, so therefore there's not going to be a separate lottery for those two activities. That's one possibility. Then the Gemara says, Ika da'amre, davka Machta uktores, the chada avodahi, avos shara avodos bai payas. The Gemara says, maybe we can infer from here the following, that maybe it's specifically the Ketores and the Machta that we say that one lottery suffices for the two avodos, implying that when it comes to any other avoda, you require a separate lottery. That would seem to answer our original question. It would seem to imply from here that regular avodos, everyone requires its own distinct lottery. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Machta itchtricha le salka daita chamina ho'il velo shchicha u'ma'atra naskin la'payas bifnei atzma kamash malan. The Gemara says, no, one cannot necessarily derive from here that you should have a separate lottery for each avoda, because perhaps the reason why Rabbi Yehuda focused on the ketores and the machta is because one might have thought that the ketores and the machta should require its own distinct lottery. Why? Because the Ktonus, the Gemara says, first of all, is pretty infrequent because it's only done twice a day. In contrast to all the other avodos, you could have, you know, hundreds of karbanos offered on a given day, potentially. You could have, you know, anyone come up and offer a karban. So the Gemara says the Ktonus was much less frequent, and as we know from Gemara's a little bit later on, the Ktonus, offering the Ktonus, also made a person wealthy. So the Gemara says one might have thought that because there's so much going for you with the Ktonus, we're not just going to throw the machta in. Maybe the machta would have required a separate lottery. Kamash Malam, that it's not true. Comes the Gemara and says, no, the Chiddush is that even though the Ktonus has all these benefits going for it, we still throw the machta in as a package deal. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in terms of other activities, in terms of other avodos, that they're going to require a separate lottery. So the Gemara says, you cannot really infer anything from here. Yeah.
So if I'm the going that's going to, let's say, carry up the limbs,
yeah,
and there's 50 karbanos that day, I'm the going, I do that 50 times that day, I'm
Sounds that way. And again, remember, there were four separate lotteries. This was only the second lottery that was done. But each lottery was, you know, had to do with what was going to be done for the duration of the day. So yeah, if you won the schus to be Mala Ivarim, yeah, so yeah, no, exactly. Then you would have that right for the rest of the day. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tashma, the Sunni Rabbi Chia, lo l'chol avoda v'avoda mefaisen, el ha-kohen shezacha v'samid, shnei masar echa v'akohanim nimshach, and imo shma mina. Gemara quotes a very explicit halacha here. Gemara just is very, very, very straightforward. There was not a separate avoda for each and every, kohen, for each and every avoda, but rather there was one lottery. The kohen who would win the first one, they would just give the other 12 avodas to the next 12 kohanim who were standing next to him. Fine. Then we said, payas ha-sheni, iboy elu, mi mekab, Shochit Mekabel, D.E. Amar Zorik Mekabel, Agav Chavivuse, Lo Mekabel Eluchule Dam, O Dilma Zorik Mekabel, D.E. Amar Shochit Mekabel, Zimnin de Shachet Zar. The Gemara points out the Mishnah never mentions the schus of doing Kabbalah Sadam. You know that Kabbalah Sadam is one of the stages of a karban. You have to accept the blood. So the question is, well, who's supposed to do the Kabbalah Sadam? It's never mentioned as one of the lotteries and one of the things that's given out. So the Gemara has a suffix. Maybe we should say that the guy who shechts it does Kabbalah, or maybe the guy who does the Zrika. What are the studim on both sides? So on the one end, you can argue that the guy who shechts should do Kabbalah, because if you're going to tell me the guy who's doing Zrika should do Kabbalah, the problem is Zrika Sadam, as we mentioned already before, it's a very, very chashav avoda. It's the final avoda. It's the culmination of the process of kapara for a karban. So one might have thought the guy is just going to rush through the Kabbalah to get to the Zrika. So maybe that's not a good idea. We don't want the guy to be too hasty with the Kabbalah just to jump to the Zrika. That's one possibility. Or maybe you could say, no, maybe the dafka, the guy who's doing Zerika, should do the Kabbalah. Why? Because as we also know, when it comes to Shechita, potentially a non-Kohen can shecht. A non-Kohen cannot do the other avodas. He'll be chayav misa, potentially, at least for Zerika. He'll be chayav misa, as we pointed out the other day. So since a non-Kohen cannot do Kabbalah, perhaps it's not a good idea to have the Shochet do the Kabbalah. The Gemara says,
Rabbi, quick question. Mm-hmm. Why is it that, obviously the Kohen has to do all the different avodas, why is it that Shechita, which is the essential part of the whole process,
Gemara tells us in several places. Gemara Sechas Brachos, Gemara in Chulin, that Shechita is not called an avoda. This touches on something that we were talking about yesterday regarding hadlaka. Remember we saw what this yesterday by lighting the menorah. The Gemara says that's also not an avoda. Why those things don't qualify as an avoda? That's a good question. The Gemaras in Chulin talk about that. But the bottom line is, so once something is not qualified as an avoda, then all bets are off. Then a non Kohen can do it also. So that's the issue. That's exactly the Gemara's suffix. Who should be doing the Kabbalah Sadam? So the Gemara says, Tashma, ben katan asa yud beis dad l'kior k'desha yehu yud beis echav ha-kohanim ha-asukin b'samen mekachin yedem v'raglein b'vasachas v'isal k'daitach shochit mekabel t'leisar havei el alash shma mina zorg mekabel shma mina. The Gemara references a Mishnah a little bit later on. The Mishnah tells us that ben katan made 12 different faucets or spigots on the kior so that the 12 kohanim who were engaged in the karban tamid would be able to wash their hands and feet at the same time before going ahead and doing the various avodos. Now, if you're going to tell me that the guy who's doing the shechita should also do the Kabbalah Sadam, then there should actually be 13 spigots that he should have put onto the kior. The fact that there are only 12 is an indication that it's really the guy who's doing the zrika, because as we just pointed out, in theory, a non-Kohen can do shechita, and therefore, obviously, if he's not a Kohen, he doesn't have to wash his hands on the kior. Then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rav le Rav Ashi, Afa na nami tenina, shachar ha-shochet v'kibel ha-mekabel, uvalo lizrok shma mina. The Gemara also derives from the language of a brisa that says that the guy would do the shchita, and then the guy who did the kabbalah would go ahead and do the zrika sadam. So the implication of the formulation of the brisa is that it's specifically the guy who does the zrika who's ultimately also going to do the kabbalah sadam. Okay. Then we said Amar ben Azza.
Seems to me it would be pretty difficult, although I've never done shchita or seen it, to do the shchita and then also be the one who got
bailed
the dog. I mean,
yep. Many of the activities that were done in the Mikdash required a lot of dexterity by the Kohanim. The Gemara talks about this in Mesachas Menachos that, you know, Kohanim had to throw meat, potentially a few hundred feet or yards or whatever it was to get on the Mizbeach, and if they missed, they were Chayiv Misa. There was a lot of skill that went into being a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. So yeah, maybe for the average person, it's not so easy to do that. But I guess the Kohanim could figure out a way. It's a similar idea. Okay, fine. So then the Mishnah told us, Amar ben Azay lefnei Rabbi Akiva. So remember, the Mishnah had a machlokes about the proper order in which the parts of the carbon were brought up, and Azay said, you should bring them up based on the way in which the animal walks. So what does that mean? Tanu Rabbanan, Kitzah derech hilucho, Harosh v'haragel, Hachazeh v'hagiro, Ushtei adayim, Ushtei defanos, Ha'oketz v'haragel. So according to ben Azay, what it means is, first you bring up the head and the right leg, then the breast and the throat, then the two front legs, then the two flanks of the animal, then the tail and the left leg. Rabbi Yossi Omer Derech Hevsheto Hayakar. According to Rabbi Yossi, you bring the animal up based on the way in which it's flayed or skinned. Ketzah Derech Hevsheto Harosher Haregel Haoketz Haregel Ushtei Defanos Ushtei Hayadayim Hachazav Hagera. So the way in which you skin the animal is first you do the head on the right leg, then the tail on the left leg, then the two flanks, then the two front legs, and then the breast and the throat. Rabbi Akiva Omer Derech Nitucho Hayakar. They would offer it up based on the way in which it was cut up after it was already skinned. Ketzah Derech Nitucho Harosher Haregel Ushtei Yadayim Hachazav Hagera Ushtei So again, it was the head and the right leg, the two front legs, the breast and the throat, the two flanks, the tail and the left leg. Rabbi Yosi Agalili Omer Derech Iluyo Hayakar. They would bring it up based on the quality of meat. So what does that mean? Ketsa Derech Iluyo Harosha Haregel Hachaze V'Hagiro Ushteha Defanos V'Haoketsu Haregel Ushteha Yadan. So that was the, in descending order, that was the quality of meat. So first with the head and the right leg, then the breast and the throat, then the two flanks, then the tail and the left leg, and then the two front legs. So the Gemara asks, in Sefer Yecheskel, the pasuk describes the best cut of meat as being the thigh and the shoulder. Why was that not the first piece of meat that was brought up according to Rabbi Yosi HaGalili? The Gemara says, no, hahi bekhusha. That pasuk was only referring to an animal which is already very lean, so in a very lean type of a sheep. So yeah, then the thigh and the shoulder is the best cut. But if the animal, like the carbonos, the animals they had set aside for the carbon tumah were typically very fatty animals, so there were other parts of the animal that were considered to be better quality. Amar Rava. Bain Tana Didan Uvain Rabbi Yosi Basar Iluya de Bisra Azlinan, Mar Azil Basar Ivra de Bisra, Mar Azil Basar Shamna de Bisra. Basically, both according to the Tana of our Mishnah and according to Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, they both agree that you have to follow the quality of meat in terms of the order in which you offer the parts of the animal. The only question is, what does that mean? In other words, what are we talking about when we say the quality of meat? According to our Tana, that's an allusion to the idea of the quantity, in other words, the place where the most meat on the animal is found, whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Galili, it's based on the fattiness of the particular cut of meat. So the Gemara says, "My time a salka regel bahadi ratio." Why is it that every time we mention the head of the animal, the head is always accompanied by the right leg? The Gemara says, "Mishum duration nefiche be'at samos." So therefore, the Gemara says, "Karva regel bahadi." The Gemara says, since the head has a lot of bones in it, there's not as much meat in the head. Therefore, we bring the right leg together with it in order to kind of compensate for the lack of meat that's in the head. Then the Gemara says, "Dechule alma mihas rosh karev b'reisha menal." And everyone seems to agree that the head is offered first. How do we know that? The Gemara says, "Desanya minayin l'roshu feder shekod min l'chol ha'ivarim." How do we know that the head and the fat of the animal is offered before everything else? Talmud lomar es rosho v'es pidro v'arach. In the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah says that you bring the head and the fat of the animal, and then the Kohen arranges all the other parts of the animal on the mizbeach. The Gemara says, "V'idach peder achrin l'mayaseh." If you look four psukim earlier in Parashas Vayikra, the Torah also references offering the fat on the mizbeach, but if the pasuk in other words, if the pasuk for psukim later is telling you to offer the fat, what's the pasuk for psukim earlier teaching us? Gemara says lechidasanya keitzad hayosa no sinas apeder abesa shchita umaleu v'zehu derech kavut shamal. Famous idea the Gemara talks about in several other places as well. The Gemara says that this fat that's mentioned earlier in Parshas Vayikra means that the kohen would take the fat of the animal and cover the neck after the shchita, since the shchita of the animal, the neck was a bloody mess after it was shechted. It wasn't proper. It wasn't considered derech kavut to Hashem to have all this, you know, blood and everything seeping out everywhere. So they would place the fat over the neck of the animal in order to make it look a little bit nicer when they were offering up as a carbon.